Concentrate on Him. Worship Christ the Lord. Worship Him, Jesus Christ the Lord.
Just forget about yourself.
Just forget about yourself. Concentrate on Him and worship Him. Just forget about yourself. Concentrate on Him and worship Him. So concentrate on Him and worship Christ the Lord. Worship Him, Jesus Christ the Lord.
Sing the first verse now.
Oh, we have come into His house, gathered in His name to worship Him. We have come into His house, gathered in His name to worship Him. We have come into His house, gathered in His name to worship Christ the Lord. Worship Him, Jesus Christ the Lord. And let us lift up holy hands, magnify His name and worship Him. Let us lift up holy hands, magnify His name and worship Him. Let us lift up holy hands, magnify His name and worship Christ the Lord. Worship Him, Jesus Christ the Lord.
Hallelujah. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this evening. Amen. Want to enter in with all of our hearts. I'd like to sing that song, Give Thanks, with a grateful heart.
Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. We give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. Say, I am strong. Let the poor say I am rich because of what the Lord has done for us. We give thanks. Oh, give thanks with a grateful heart. We give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. Oh, give thanks with a grateful heart. We give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. And now, all that the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich because of what the Lord has done for us. And now, let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich because of what the Lord has done for us. We get thanks. We get thanks. Oh, we give thanks. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise you, Lord Jesus. I just love to worship Him, don't you? Amen. Why don't we sing that song, Think About His Love? I know we sing that a lot, but I just love that song. Amen. Think about His love. Oh, think about His goodness. Think about His grace that has brought us through. For as high as the heavens above, oh, great is the measure of our Father's love. Our Father's love. Think about His love now. Oh, think about His love. Oh, think about His goodness. Think about His grace that has brought us through. For as high as the heavens above, oh yes, great is the measure of our Father's love. Hallelujah. Oh, great is the measure of our Father's love. Sing it again with all your hearts. Oh, thank you, Lord. Think about His love. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Think about His goodness. Oh, think about His grace that has brought us through. High
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Put those hands together for Jesus. Amen. I love to praise Him. I love to worship Him. He's worthy of that praise. Hallelujah. Amen. What key are we in there? F. I like to sing that song, Victory in Jesus. It's an old song, but one of my very favorites. I never will forget. I think I might have been about 5 years old, and that was probably one of the first song requests I ever put in at church. I don't know what it was. There was just something about that song that just caught my attention whenever it was sang. Let's sing it together. I heard an old, old story, how a Savior came from glory, how He gave His life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about His groaning, of His precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. Peace on me. And He bought me with His redeeming blood. And He loved me ere I knew Him. And all my love is due Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about His healing, of His cleansing power revealing, how He made the lame to walk again, and He caused the blind to see. Well, then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the hallelujah. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. And He bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is due Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing blood. Listen to this now. I heard about that mansion He has built for me in glory. And I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'm gonna sing up there the song of victory. Sing with all your heart. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He saw me and He bore me with His redeeming. Hallelujah. I knew Him, and all my love is to Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. Sing it again now. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. Well, He sought me and He bought me with His redeeming blood. And He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is due Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing blood. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's give Him some praise. Don't be afraid to put those hands together. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't know what it is. There's something about that song. There's power in them words. Amen. Why don't we sing that song, Keep on the Fire in Line? I know we sing that one a lot, but I like it too. Come on. Well, if you're in the battle for the Lord and right, keep on the fire in line. If you win, my brother, surely you must fight. Keep on that fire in line. Well, now there are many dangers that we all must face. If we die of fighting, it is no disgrace. Cowards in the service, he will find no place. So keep on that fire in line. Oh, you must fight, be brave against all evil. Never run or even lag behind. If you must win for God and the righteous, keep on the fire in line. Come on now. God will only use a soldier he can trust. Keep on that fire in line. If you wear a crown, then bear the cross you must. Keep on the fire in line. Life is but to labor for the Master dear. Help to banish evil and to spread good cheer. Great, you'll be rewarded for your service here. So keep on the fire in line. Come on now, you gotta fight. Fight, be brave against all evil. Never run or even lag behind. If you would win for God in the right, just keep on the fire in line. Sing this one now. Oh, when we get to heaven, brother, you'll be glad. Keep on the fire in line. How we'll praise the Savior for the call we had. Just keep on the firing line. When we see the souls that we have helped to win, leading them to Jesus from the paths of sin, with a shout of welcome, we will all march in. So keep on the fire in line. Let's fight now. You gotta fight. Be brave against all evil. Oh, never run or even lag behind. If you would win for God in the right, just keep on the fire in line. Sing it again. Oh, you must fight, be brave against all evil. Never run or even lag behind. If you must win for God in the right, just keep on the firing line. Amen. Come on, let's give Him praise. Hallelujah. Praise You, Lord Jesus. Amen, amen. Hallelujah. Amen. We'll sing one more before we change the order of the service. This little light of mine. Amen. Well, this little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Well, don't let Satan blow it out. I'm gonna let it shine. Don't let Satan blow it out. I'm gonna let it shine. Don't let Satan blow it out. I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Let's bring that key up. Ooh. Let's see if we can get that key a little bit higher. Well, this little light of mine, oh, I'm gonna let it shine, that's it. Well, this little light of mine, it shine. But this little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Don't let Satan blow it out. Don't let Satan blow it out. I'm gonna let it shine. Don't let Satan blow it out. I'm gonna let it shine. Don't let Satan blow it out. I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. We'll hide it under a bushel. No, I'm gonna let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. No, I'm gonna let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. No, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Oh, now this little light of mine. Oh, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine. I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine. I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Amen, amen. I love to praise Him, don't you? Hallelujah. Why don't we change the order of our song or our service at this time? The musicians could play something softly. I'll let you have your seats for just a moment or two. Have a few prayer requests to bring to everyone's attention. Some of these are from this morning, but we want to continue to remember those very special needs in prayer. I'd like to ask Brother Mark Sylvester if he would be getting prepared to take these before the throne. Amen. We want to remember Brother Keith in prayer. He's not with us. I believe he came down ill, and we want to remember him in prayer. We also want to remember Brother Anwar and his family as they're traveling back to New York. God would grant them safe travels on dangerous highways. Amen. Such a blessing to have him down here. I have a lot of respect for Brother Anwar and things God's brought him through. Definitely a man that's gone through the fire. I know God's got His hand on your life, brother. Amen. It was good to see you again. Amen. We want to remember folks that have that are traveling home that were coming down to visit for the banquet. God would grant them traveling mercies as well. I want to remember Sister Mary Ann in prayer. I believe she is feeling very badly. That request is from Brother Luther. So let's remember her in prayer. We remember Brother David Cockman and family in prayer. I believe they're not feeling well. I want to remember Sister Tracy Raven's mother, sister that had the stroke. Need to remember that lady especially in prayer. It's a very serious situation. God would give her healing touch in her body and restore her speech so that there wouldn't be any lasting side effects from that. Amen. We know God is able to do that. Amen. We know God can meet those needs. I mean, let's all stand. Brother Mark, if you'd make your way forward at this time. Are there any unspoken prayer requests by the uplifting of hands? Amen. God knows those needs. Hold them before His throne. Amen. Amen.
Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, it's been a good day, Lord. And a good day, Lord, we define as, Lord, that You've come and You've visited with Your people and You've blessed us, Father. And Lord, we are looking forward tonight again for a blessing from You, Lord. We come with anticipation, Father, that You would help us, Lord, to every need, Lord, that we may have, and help us and draw us closer to You, Father. I pray, Lord, for these requests that was made known, Lord, for Sister Mary Ann and Brother David and those traveling back, Lord Jesus, to their homes. We pray that You will bless them. In each uplifted land, Lord, we always have need. We pray that You will grant each father and also Brother Anwar as he travels home maybe tomorrow, Lord. We pray that You will bless him and the family. Lord, we pray that You will guide him in Your perfect will, Lord, and lead him, Lord, as You would, what You would have him to do and the things, Lord, and decisions and so on that have to be made. Lord, we are very grateful, Lord, for Your mercies and Your grace, Lord. Father, we somehow we would like to thank you, Lord, even more than we usually do. But to express it, Lord, we're so limited, it seems, Lord, these words. But I believe, Lord, you know how we feel from the heart, Father, and we thank you for that. We thank you for your precious word, Lord. Lord, it's our life. It's more than our the very breath we take, Father. And we are thankful for that you've come in this day, Lord, and call the people out for your name's sake. Send your prophet, Lord, and you've taken him off the scene, Lord, and how much nearer it is than when we first began, Father. We pray that we be sober, the things that we hear, and that our ears have been privileged to hear, Lord, that we're applied to our hearts, and be obedient listeners, Lord, we pray, Father. Forgive us of our sins, Lord, we love you, and we pray and thank you, Lord, for prayers that you've answered. We know that it seems like we just ask, Lord, but don't return thanks, but you've answered many prayers, Lord, and we want to thank you for that too. And Lord, and everything that's done and said here tonight, Father, you're worthy of all glory and praise, Lord, and we give it all to you, Father. And we thank you. We pray and ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Mark. You can have your seats. We have a couple specials. I believe Mitch and the guys. I think we've got two different groups. Brother Mitchell's going to be singing with us. So if they could be making their way forward at this time, we're going to sing song just slipped from my mind. Be it unto me according to your word. As they're making their way.
Be it unto me according to your word, according to your promises, I can stand secure. Carve upon my heart the truth that sets me free. According to your word, O Lord, be it unto me.
Amen.
Y'all just pray for us. We kind of put this together at the last minute.
Good.
grandeur and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. How great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. How great thou art. And when I think that God, His Son, not sparing, sent Him to die, I scarce can take it in that on the cross my burden gladly bearing, He bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. How great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. How great thou art.
Just sing about this.
Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. How great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. How great thou art. How great thou art. How great
Spirit. Amen. Just feel the presence of God here. Why don't we stand to our feet so Dinkins would come forward and take up our evening offering. You just give as unto the Lord and know that those tithes and offerings are going to further God's kingdom around the world. Amen. Brother Mike, would you lead us in prayer? Let's sing that song, Change My Heart, O God. As Brother Barry gets ready to come here. Change my heart, O God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, O God.
This is what I pray. Change my heart, O God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, O God. May I be like you. Lord, we ask your blessing on the word tonight. And we ask your blessing on the folks who are sick, dealing with viruses and different things, Lord, that have been circulating. We curse them in the name of Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, for good health and strength to all those that are reaching out to you now, Lord, claiming their healing, both here and online, wherever they may be. Father, we just pray your Holy Spirit would draw near to them. We ask your blessing on this service and all that's said and done. May you just come on the scene, Lord, and sit among us tonight. We ask it in Jesus Christ's lovely name. Amen. And amen. Praise the Lord. Let's take your Bibles tonight. Psalm 66, verse 1. Thank you so much for the playing, the song leading, and the specials. I thought they were tremendous. They were almost as good as those specials this morning. Girls, they were great. We appreciate that very much. It's a great blessing to be able to use the talent and gifts that God's given to us to promote worship and to bless the people. I feel blessed. How about you? Amen. You need to be saying that to those singers. Grab them in the lobby and hug their neck and say, that's all right. Because you know what? If you don't tell them, they're not going to know. And if nobody tells these young girls, these young people that were singing tonight, that it was a blessing to your soul, they're going to go home thinking, well, maybe nobody liked it. Maybe nobody got anything out of it. Because they're not mind readers, right? You're not a mind reader, are you, Sister Lydia? It's not. So we need to communicate that to the people, and I think that's a good thing. Psalm 66, verse 1. Make a joyful noise unto God, all ye lands, and sing forth the honor of his name. Make his praise glorious. That's our job, to make his praise glorious. Let's say it together. Make a joyful noise unto God, all ye lands. Sing forth the honor of his name, and make his praise glorious. May the Lord add his blessing. You may be seated tonight. Sister Sharon, good to have you with us tonight. God bless you. We've missed you. Great to have Brother Anwar and his family tonight. Good to have Brother Roger with us tonight, holding the pew back there, and good to have you with us, Brother Roger. God bless you. And each and every one, we appreciate you being here tonight. Peter and Rachel are not here tonight. They're handing a virus, a sickness around to one another, and we sure miss them tonight as well. Keith and Sarah and several others. So we sure miss them. We also miss Sister Grace, Grace Johnson, who's been fighting a virus there and not feeling well at all. So we just want to hold her up in prayer. Next Sunday, Lord willing. I think it's next Sunday. Brother Danny and Sister Caitlin are going to be here. Is it next Sunday you're going to be here? No. We're going to be dedicating Danny and Caitlin's new little boy. So they'll be along. And I'm sorry, it just slipped my mind on the date here. But we're looking forward to having them back with us again in church. All right. I'm going to talk a little bit about worship tonight, and I don't have any pieces of music to play tonight, but what I have to say, I think, is perhaps more important than anything I've said up to this point on this subject of worship. So bear with me here as we take a look at this evening here, and I'm going to try not to be long. We've defined worship as the priority that we place on who God is in our lives, and where God is in our list of priorities. True worship is a matter of the heart, expressed through the lifestyle of holiness. Thus, if our life does not express the beauty of holiness through an exaggerated love for God, and you do not live in extreme or excessive submission to God, then I invite you to make worship a non-negotiable priority in your life. That's an interesting definition.
Brother Branham makes this statement. He says, "I think that our duty to make God, I think it's our duty to make the inside right by the grace of God, to be so grateful to God that this will just be not only a beautiful building." This is his opening remarks in the series on the seven seals in March 1963. He said not only that this would be a beautiful building because they were dedicating the extension they made to Branham Tabernacle, and the first thing Brother Branham did in that extension was hold a wedding. And then this night he preached on God in simplicity, and the next night was the breach, and then he began on the seven seals. And he said in his prayer, he said that this will not be just a beautiful building, but may everyone who comes in see the beautiful characteristic of Jesus Christ in every person that comes in. And may it be a consecrated place to our Lord, a consecrated people, for no matter how beautiful the structure is, the beauty of the church is the character of the people. Amen. What a great statement, that the beauty of the church really is the character of the people. Now, I wanted to comment, and we've been talking about worship, so I'm not going to review, and I want to jump into some things that you're probably not expecting here this evening, but that's the way this series has been. And there's a truth that we could say at the outset here, that music will keep changing no matter what we try to do to it. Music is a language of the soul. And it is a very powerful thing because it affects memories. All of us, when we play a certain song, it affects us in a certain way. Music is never neutral, like I told you before. And whenever someone is inspired and, you know, brings music a certain way, there's always a bit of a reluctance within the established church. You know, people look at that and say, whoa, this is different. Sometimes different is not good, but sometimes different is not so bad. Let me ask for a show of hands. How many of you have heard Handel's Messiah or some portion of it? I want to see your hands. Handel's Messiah. Do it again. How many of you have heard a portion of Handel's Messiah? Now, if I played a portion of Handel's Messiah, every hand would go up because you've heard it. If you've shopped in a store Christmas time, you've heard it. People play it all the time Christmas time, although it was never written for Christmas worship at all. It was written for Easter. If you don't mind, let's go back in history a little bit. Andrew Fletcher, who was a statesman in Scotland a number of years ago, he said, "I knew a very wise man who said," now remember this is written in Old English, he said, "I knew a very wise man who said that he believed if a man were permitted to make all the ballads or write all the music and songs for a people, he need not care who should make the laws of a nation. Because the music of a nation, the music of a people, is very strong and influential among that people. So give me a man who will write all of the music of a nation. I don't care who writes the laws, because the music is going to shape that culture." Quite a statement. Especially knowing that he made that in the 1700s. Andrew Fletcher was born in 1655 in London. He was actually, there's some of his participation in battles, but he was the Lord Mayor of the city of London back in the early 1700s. And he said, "I don't care who writes your law, show me a man who writes your music." And he said, "I'll show you how that culture is shaped." Now, we know from our past study here that in Psalm 22, that worship and music are very much intertwined together. David wrote in Psalm 22, "But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in thee. They trusted, and thou didst deliver them. And they cried unto thee, and they were delivered. They trusted in thee, and they were not confounded." So they had a reason to rejoice. They had a reason to praise God, because David said, we look back at our history, and we see how much God did for our people. And they cried out to you, and you responded. And therefore, Lord, we give thanks unto you. And we look in our own lives, David says, and we see how much you've done for us. And Lord, we give thanks for that. So there is a truth in saying that Music is an expression of the heart. It's an expression of the soul, especially when you look at the amount of, the disproportional amount of space that God gave David to write all the Psalms, which are musical elements as much as literary elements, and put them in the Scripture, and we still have them today and revere them today. And much of it is simply about singing praise unto God. And that's what David did. Let's go back a little farther, a couple hundred years ago, and talk about Handel and Handel's Messiah. Everything in the Handel's Book of Messiah comes from the King James Bible, written in 1741. And because it's written in Scripture, most of us would say, my goodness, that's pretty safe. I mean, you know, there's no rowdy lyrics in there. It's all Scripture. You would think that, you know, when it was launched and when Handel wrote it and performed it for the first time, everybody would have embraced it because, after all, it was the words of Scripture. But the contrary is actually true. Let's go back in history and look a little bit. John Newton, the one who wrote the song Amazing Grace and became a statesman in the country of England, he refused to let Handel's Messiah be performed in his church, and he thought the musical style was too worldly. In 1784 and 85, he gave a series of 50 sermons. Pause. You can listen to all 50 sermons and notes on those sermons. And they have all 50 abbreviated into one sermon. And you can listen to it all online. It's amazing. They didn't record it back then because they didn't have tape recorders back then. But they have summaries of all of those sermons because they became very famous. And he gave a series of 50 sermons at his own church in response to the oratio being played at Westminster Abbey as part of a commemoration festival of Handel's 100th birthday. So on Handel's 100th birthday, they played Handel's Messiah. They sang the oratio in Westminster Abbey. Newton was outraged. His stated goal was to preach on the scriptural passages found in the lyrics of the Messiah, though he also found ample opportunity to further his critique of the oratio and its performance. Namely, he found lots of things that was wrong with it. And he said, the music of the Messiah, though majestic and greatly admired, deflects attention from the scriptural text upon which it was based. I'm not really sure how he justified that, because all of the lyrics were scripture. But he said, because it was put to music, and by the way, the Catholic Church rose up against this as well, because this was the first time that the Bible was ever set to music. And they thought, wow, this is an absolute abomination. And they thought it was terrible. They thought it was worldly. They thought Handel should have been burned at the stake. The audience that gathered to hear Messiah came for the wrong reason. This is what Newton said. Newton said that they're coming to be entertained. And number three, the place of its performance was inappropriate. Shouldn't be singing like that in the church. Shouldn't be singing scripture in the church. That's what he preached. And did 50 sermons on the subject. He also said in sermon number 50, if the far greater part of the people who frequent the oratio are evidently unaffected by the Redeemer's love and uninfluenced by his commands, I am afraid it is no better. And that's not a misspelling. This is Old English. Because I'm very careful about spelling. I try to be. If the far greater part of the people who frequent the oratio, sorry, but it's hard to pick up in mid-sentence when it's just commas. But let me just say this. If you ever attended a lecture by Stonewall Jackson. Stonewall Jackson lectured at Lexington College up in Lexington, Virginia. And whenever Stonewall Jackson lectured, he memorized his lectures. And so if you interrupted Stonewall Jackson when he was teaching, the only thing he knew to do was go back to the beginning and start again. So the students always remembered never to interrupt Stonewall Jackson. He was a much better fighter than he was a teacher, by the way. Let me start again. If the far greater part of the people who frequent the oratio, or attend Handel's Messiah, are evidently unaffected by the Redeemer's love and uninfluenced by his commands, I am afraid it is no better than a profanation, a profaning of the name and the truths of God, a crucifying of the Son of God afresh. He was very much set against Handel's Messiah and putting the scripture to music. Let's go on a little bit further. Because it wasn't just Newton. Before he wrote the Messiah, Handel was an enormously successful opera composer. And he was born in Germany in 1685, the same year as J.S. Bach, and 50 miles away from where he was born, although they never met. He studied opera in Italy and then moved to London in 1712, where he worked for the rest of his life. And he wrote some 29 operas that were enormously popular. But then politics changed, and the church also had an influence in the era of the Reformation after Martin Luther. And most of this change was driven by religious concerns. And so therefore, for example, Jonathan Swift, who was the author of Gulliver's Travels, tried to stop the Dublin premiere of Messiah. The reason why Handel went to Dublin, Ireland, was because he was afraid of the outcry in London, which was essentially then the cultural capital of the world, and he didn't want to have it fall flat on its face in London, so he moved it over to Dublin, Ireland, and performed it in Dublin. But when he did, Jonathan Swift, who was the archbishop of one of the churches over there, he rose up and came against Handel's Messiah. And many church leaders considered Handel's music profane and subversive because of his association with opera and the theater. And they objected to their cathedral choirs participating. This controversy almost prevented Messiah from the very start. So they almost stopped it from ever being published or performed. Handel put the premiere in Dublin in part because of his fears over the controversy that a London performance would create. What do the other composers, though, think of Handel? This is certainly not a controversy. This is a fact, and this is all in writing. Johann Sebastian Bach said, "Handel is the only person I would wish to see before I die, and the only person I would wish to be were I not Bach." Only Bach could say something like that. After hearing this statement, Mozart is said to have exclaimed, "Truly, I would say the same myself if I were permitted to put in a word." Johann Frederick Haydn, right? No. Frederick Johann Haydn, no. Haydn said, "Handel was the master of us all." And Beethoven, when asked who was the greatest composer, said, "Handel, to him I bow the knee." Interesting. So when Handel composed this and performed it, and history says that over the few days that it took for Handel to do this, this was an extraordinary event for him to be able to compose and complete the score of Handel's Messiah in a matter of days. Normally, this would take years for composers to do something as large and as complex as Handel's Messiah, with all the different instruments and all the different choruses and all the different parts of it there flowing together. And he sat at his desk. They say his butler came to him with his dinner, and he would bring the dinner and lay it on the table next to Handel, and several hours later he would come back and pick up the dinner, nothing touched, and take it away. And they say that oftentimes the people in the house and the butler would hear Handel weeping over the portions of the scripture that he had completed. And when he wrote the Hallelujah Chorus, he could hardly contain himself. King Charles, who was in the first performance of Handel's Messiah, stood on his feet. There's a lot of rumor about why he stood on his feet. Some people said that he had a cramp. Other people said that he was giving honor to God and he wanted to stand, because whenever God was mentioned as the great king, everybody stood. The custom was in England that whenever you were in a room where the king or queen stood, you had to stand also. And as a result today, even when the Handel's Messiah is played and you attend it, we stand during the Hallelujah Chorus. I think it's a great piece. One time years ago when we were first married and we lived in Newfoundland, I was walking down the road and I went by a bookshop, and it was an old record and bookshop. And I went through in there and I was just going by. I went in there many times in the old days to buy records. Yes, I was around when records were played. Some of you are looking at me. I was even around when they picked up the phone receiver and spun the dial. Right? Huh. Don't laugh over there. And I remember going past the record shop, Fred's record shop, and I didn't go in there after I was converted, but I remember going past one day and I looked, and here was an album set. It was Handel's Messiah played by the London Philharmonic Orchestra on about 8 record albums. And I looked, and I thought, whoa, whoa. And I went inside and bought it. I still have it. It's a real treasured possession that we have. My wife and I, we've enjoyed it. And yes, we still have a record player in our house. And I am unashamed of that. It was a blessing. We play it, you know, we take it out and play it every now and then, but it was never meant, Handel never meant it for Christmas at all. He wrote it and intended it to be enjoyed during the Easter time because it was full of prophecy. It was full of prophecies about Christ's coming and His birth and then His life and His death and burial and resurrection. And that's what it was all about. Brother Branham says in Longing for Jesus, he said, now, we want to speak as every meeting about Jesus Christ. Because He's the center of our worship and the center of our attraction, the center of our life, and all that we have and are will be based upon Him. All that we have and all that we are and will be is based upon Him. I love music that inspires us to worship God. I love music that includes the Scripture. I love music that is based on truth. Now let me give you a statement here that really stopped me in my tracks, and I need you to hang on to this one, okay? My soul thirsts for the living God, David said, and this is the message called Thirst, and this is where Brother Branham took his text out of this, how David thirsted for God, and he compared it to the water. He said, my soul thirsts for the living God like the hart, and the hart being the animal like a deer, hart panting for the water brook. Unless I can find it, I'll perish. And Brother Branham described the hart and how he would be wounded by the wolves or the pursuers, and he would find water, and when he found water, he would be able to sustain himself and run on. And he says, when you get to hungering for God like that, whether it's a matter of life and death, when you begin to hunger for God like that, something is going to take place. And the Holy Spirit is to lead you to those great fountains of God. The Holy Spirit is going to lead you to those great fountains of God, because God has a great reservoir of blessings for His people and inspiration for His people and His Word for His people. Haven't we found that His Word is a great reservoir? Haven't we found that His Word is a great reservoir? We're still drawing from the wells of salvation, aren't we? Still drawing inspiration from the Word. And hey, we're reading the King James Bible that was written hundreds of years ago, and we're still drawing inspiration from its words. It's amazing how we can come to church. I'm amazed at how many new things I preach. I'm amazed at how many things that I discover in the Scripture and how many things come alive to me. After all these years of preaching and after all of these years of other people preaching, it's just amazing to me how deep the wells of salvation are, and we draw from the great reservoirs of God. It seems to be an endless thing, because it is. It is the eternal God expressed in print. The Holy Spirit is to lead you to those great fountains of God. Now, there is a good thing to worship in the Spirit, but sometimes you have Spirit without truth. John 4, we worship God in spirit and in truth, and Jesus is the truth. We agree with that, right? Then He says, and He is the Word, the streams God sent to satisfy you in the natural, Satan has polluted every one of them. He has put the poison dope in every one that he could get into. He took the great stream of the church. Satan took the great stream of the church and poisoned the flow that should be coming from the reservoirs of God. Listen now. Look at the imagery that Brother Branham has given to us here. That God's got a great reservoir of resources and blessings and inspiration and revelations that are designed for us. Inspired music that is meant for us, right? There's great inspired music that has been written for our time and our day that was never discovered or written in any other day, but it was reserved for our day because somebody dipped down in the reservoir of God and came with the right inspiration to write songs, and my goodness, they're a blessing to us. I'll tell you what. Very seldom do I ever get an opportunity to go to a concert or singing or something like that. Not that I wouldn't, but I just don't get a chance to do it very much. Prior to Christmas this year, my wife and I gave this to her as a gift, we went to hear the Geddes sing in Roanoke. We're a little partial to the Irish side of things, and both of them are from Ireland, and they were going to sing in Roanoke, so we went. And I was blessed because they sang and they worshiped, and they included lots of Scripture in it. We were standing more than we were sitting. as we sang, and everybody sang along. They had the words in a booklet, and you were able to sing along and know the words, and I need that kind of help because I don't remember anything. And so it was really nice. It was really enjoyable, and we sang along with them. But what was really nice, what was really special about it, was that when the Gettys themselves sang, Keith and Kristen Getty, when they sang in a very, very plain and ordinary way. And he did this. When he played, it was not like Dino. I'm giving away my age here. It was not like some big flashy thing. He did this. He just leaned over the piano, never looked at anyone. He just did this, and he just played. And he played beautifully. And his wife, who was expecting a child, she sat on a stool most of the concert. And she just sat there facing him, and she just sang. She has the most beautiful voice. It was just wonderful. And they sang, and when they sang, there was no show, there was no pizzazz with it at all. It was just the two of them. You could listen to them for hours and hours and hours. That's the way they were. And he is known to be the last, what's the phrase about Keith Getty? He is the modern-day hymn writer. I have a mental block on that, and that's why Sarah is my daughter-in-law. She reminds me of all the things I forget about things like that. He's the modern-day hymn writer. And he wrote the song, what? In Christ Alone. And he and his wife sat there and sang that song, and he just leaned over the piano and played that. I'll tell you what, there was such a wonderful atmosphere when he sang that, In Christ Alone, and he wrote the words of that song. Just such a blessing. You know what? I would say, officially, I believe that came from the reservoirs of God. That's just a great inspired song. That's my own opinion, and I just really enjoy that. Now, let me say this. Brother Branham is identifying something back here in the 60s here. And I'm not suggesting that people go to concerts and things like that. That's not what I'm projecting here. I'm just saying that I believe that God has revelations. I believe he has good music. I believe that there are blessings that are in store for God's people in every age and in every dispensation. Would you believe that? But that music changes. Over the years, that music has changed. We would look at Handel's Messiah, something very conservative at this particular point. Back then, they looked at it as something that was, some of the people who we know as great Christian fathers, they looked at it as blasphemy and nothing short of it, because they were taking the scripture now to music and actually singing it in the church. And back then, it was something that was not done. Now, Brother Branham gives us an interesting warning, though, here, and he says, and he is the word, and he said, and the streams of God sent to satisfy you in the natural, Satan has polluted every one of them. Part of this has to do with music. And how he said that, you can take a guy like Pat Boone or Elvis Presley, and he said they'll sing in a church one night and they'll be out in a honky-tonk the next night. And so therefore, there's a crossing over, there's a blending of the music of the world and the music within the church. And that's never meant to be. Because what we do in church here is not entertainment. What we do in church is not performance. What we do in church is simply worship to God. And we thank him for who he is and who we are and what God has done for us and all the great ways that God answers prayer and all the great things that God is. And that's what we're here to do, is to worship God. Not to be entertained or to entertain. And not to perform and not to witness a performance. We are here simply to worship God. And Brother Branham said that in every way, Satan will try to get into those streams that God has meant to satisfy us and pollute that, every one of them, and has put the poison dope in every one that he could get into. So, for instance, now there's all kinds of churches that market their services and their program using music and comedy. And this is, I didn't know this, but I was told this evening here, that a lot of times churches will advertise a fun night of comedy and music and bring in a famous, well-known comedian and put him in the middle of the program and have music on both sides of it in order to get people to come into the church. And all these other groups, by the way, that are there, and other fantastic acts that are there, or in the Marble Collegiate Church if you want to go and have a jazz revelation. That, my friend, is an oxymoron. But that's the way they market, because they're after millennials. They're after the younger crowd who don't want to go and just, you know, just sit there and listen to a sermon. But they want to go because now they can hear the good music and they can hear all the other things that go on in the church, and they can be entertained and they can feel good because they've gone to church and satisfied their requirement. Are we okay? Brother Branham, by the way, makes this statement. He said, youthful members swing out to jazz. I will tell you something. Jazz has no place in this church. No place. Passion play tells of the crucifixion, of the crucifixion in modern idiom. He spells it. It's a genre here. He says, you know, the passion play tells of the crucifixion, but they've turned it into rock and roll. And he's describing a specific example here. The pastor here leading all the teenagers up there and going through the passions of Christ, the crucifixion played out in rock and roll and jazz. It's in Maryland. Jesus Christ Superstar and all the other things that came along with it. And I was telling you this morning of these Beatles and the return of the Beatles, and there's the articles. You should just read it out of one of the magazines there, as if it were, they said, they founded a new religion. And John Lennon made the statement where he said, I believe that we're more popular than Jesus Christ. And back then, there was still enough backbone and enough fiber in the local churches that it became an outcry against the Beatles. And lots of people came and they had a Beatle burning session where they took their albums and their paraphernalia and their jackets and t-shirts and put them in great big piles outside of churches, and they burned all their Beatles stuff because they were actually making the statement that they were displacing Jesus Christ or greater than Jesus Christ. I will tell you today, the same statement wouldn't faze anyone. I'm sorry, it just wouldn't faze anyone. Now, I believe this. That over the years, what's happened, and Brother Branham warning us about this years ago, over the years, what's happened is there has become in the nominal church a doctrinal vacuum wherein folks that would attend churches like this and the ones that I put on the board here, they would really know less and less of doctrine, and they elevate the importance of the feeling of being in church, the good feeling that they have. And so there's a creation, a very specific and on purpose creation of a feeling or a sensation that caters to the emotional faculties of people, and especially young people, whereas feelings should follow belief, not precede them. Think about this now. Our response should be a response to truth. We should not be worked up into a place where now whatever is said, we're going to agree with because we're worked up and our feelings are affected by the kind of music that's being played. Because our knowing should precede our response. Let me say this, that I believe the best song service we should have should be after the word is preached. Because the song service at the beginning sets an atmosphere and it sets a tone here for the Holy Spirit to come and inspire the word to our hearts so that we can be blessed by the hearing of the word. But let me tell you, because the word comes and it is the truth that God has saved and revealed to us in the last day, we ought to be on our feet and really thanking God and being excited about the things that God is showing to us in this last day. You say, is there a quote for that? Watch. In the third seal, Brother Branham taps into this. And watch what he says. He says, now, oil typifies the Spirit and wine symbolizes revelation. He says, not just revelation, but the stimulation of revelation. Somebody say amen. He said, boy, I like to run all over the place. He said, it's a wonder I didn't wake up the neighborhood when the Lord showed me that. The stimulation of revelation. Oil and wine in the Bible is always associated together. So there is a stimulation that comes when you get a revelation of God's Word. Right? There is a stimulation that comes. There's an excitement that you feel whenever you get a revelation of God's Word. And you sit there and say, wow, I never knew that. And wow, you know, it's preached in such a way and ministered in such a way. Whether you're listening to a tape or whether you're sitting in the church or whether you're in a convention somewhere. And all of a sudden those loose ends are still coming together in your mind and your heart. And God is quickening that Word because the Holy Spirit is the one who reveals the Word and quickens the Word. And when that strikes your soul, you ought to respond to that. Because that's what oil and wine will do to somebody. Brother Branham takes that theme and says again in the third seal, when the truth of a promised word of God has been truly revealed to his saints, that's filled with oil, they will go to Burger King. No, they'll get stimulated. They want to sing about it. They want to worship about it. As I got a revelation, when the truth of a promised word of God has been truly revealed to his saints, that's filled with oil, they'll get stimulated. There's something stimulating about that. Now pause for a second, and let me tell you this. Forms will differ, but truth doesn't. We may disagree on forms. But I'll tell you what. Substance must continually point to one thing and one thing only, and that's Christ and Christ alone. But the form with which we worship, I believe that is a it can be expressed in different ways. And I will tell you what. I hope you understand it when I say this. That there is in this church, just like there is in every church, basically, an older generation who have memories of certain types of music and singing, certain genres of music, certain ways that they worshiped in former days and so forth. The days when they had their initial experience and moved on up in the ranks of God's revelation in their heart. Right? Some of you older folks remember the old songs that used to be sung, are hardly very, very much sung anymore. But I will tell you something. It is never right for a younger generation to come and amputate that whole style of music from the church and say, that doesn't matter anymore. Because that is a painful process. And I don't believe it's necessary in the church. That's why when the boys were singing tonight and practicing this afternoon, I came out to them and told them, I said, I want those two songs sung because one of them speaks back to an older song, an old hymn, and another one is a little bit more on the contemporary side. But you know what? They sounded great. What was the first one that you sang? Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. I have no memory, so I can't remember things like that. Some of you older folks remember those were songs that were staple songs back in your day. Isn't that right? Come on, old folks. Get somebody to help lift your hand here and wave it there. You can't take that. You can't take those sacred songs out of the church and say, hey, they don't matter anymore. They don't count. We're going to sing Chris Tomlin. You know, we're going to repeat it 50 times and just say it over and over again. Hey, let me tell you, there's memories associated with that. There's experience that are associated with that. There are things. And I think there needs to be, listen, there needs to be a mutual respect within the church for the kinds of music and the kinds of worship and so forth, because there isn't any one group that is absolutely just right in this church. Right? You probably didn't think I was going to say all that. But I will go on and say that you cannot amputate those forms of worship from the past there, because I have news for all the young people that are here. One day, you're going to be the old people. Music should always be connected with truth and capable of connecting the present with the future. Let me say it again. Music should always be connected with truth. Isn't that right? We shouldn't be singing God in three persons. We shouldn't be singing that. Although it's a beautiful melody, we shouldn't be singing that. Music should always be connected with truth and capable of connecting the present with the future. When they had a battle back in the old days in the Old Testament, they'd put singers in the front. Hey, listen, I'm British enough still to remember how the Black Watch would come down through our street whenever we'd have a parade. And we'd love to have the Black Watch come down to play. And those are the bagpipe players and the drummers who came and preceded the Scottish and the British armies in the battle. And let me tell you, you talk about inspiring now. You talk about inspiring and how they would come and, you know, motivate you. If you didn't have a gun or you didn't have a weapon, you'd still want to get in the parade and get behind those guys and go in the battle, because there's something inspiring about music. It just motivates you to do something. And here's Brother Branham telling us that when the truth of a promised word of God has been truly revealed to his saints, that's us, he said, that's filled with oil, that's us, he said, they get stimulated. They don't get sedated, they get stimulated. They don't get worldly, they get stimulated. Wine is a stimulation, glory. I feel it right now, stimulated with joy, shouts. And when it does, it has the same effect upon them that wine does upon a natural man. Seen it many times. Because when the revelation has been given of a truth of God and the true believer filled with oil, and the revelation is revealed, the stimulation becomes so great that it makes him behave himself unnormally. Unnormally is not a word, but in this case, it's okay. Because when a person has, the stimulation of wine in them, they're not too concerned about who's looking. They're not too concerned about what they're wearing. They're not too concerned about, how they've got the floor, right? They're not too concerned about that. They're just kind of having a great time. And Brother Branham is saying that in the natural, he said, that's the way it is. They begin to act unnormal. In a sense, they come out of their shell. I pray that God would bring us out of our spiritual shell and bring us out of our lump and cause us to raise our hands and lift our voices. Stand on our feet and shout and thank God. Lord, I thank you because you have done so many great things among us. And Lord, you have healed us and you have blessed us and so on. We don't need to be something we're not. We don't need to pretend and put on. We don't need to, make a show just because of these quotes here that I'm giving you. That's not the point. Remember, worship is from the heart. It is the priority that you give to God and say, I am here. I am here to worship God. I am here to hear the truth. I am here not because of a girl. I'm not here because of the restaurant we're going to go to today. I'm not here for any other reason except I just want to let the world know what side of this battle I'm on. I want to worship God in spirit and in truth. And I want to let him know that even though I've had a rough week, I want him to know that I love him with all my heart. In the fourth seal now, Brother Branham carries it on. Now the power of revelation brings stimulation to the believer. For the power of wine, natural wine, is to stimulate. It's to bring a person that's all slumped down to a stimulation. Well, there's a power of the revelation of the word. Give stimulation of joy to the believer, stimulation of satisfaction, to stimulate it that it's vindicated, it's proved. Let me read the yellow again. Well, there's a power of the revelation of the word. Give stimulation of joy to the believer, stimulation of satisfaction, the stimulation that it's vindicated, it's proved. It's called in the scriptures, we want to refer to it as new wine. We also refer to it as those who are drunk on new wine or spiritual wine. As the natural wine reveals itself in stimulated power, so does the new wine as it reveals the word of God, which is spirit. Hey, Brother Branham's in the opening of the seven seals. He's on territory that no man has ever walked on since the New Testament was actually written and John was in a pot of boiling oil. Nobody has cracked the understanding of the book of the seven seals. And Brother Branham's simply saying, by the way, when the revelation of all of this breaks forth, it ought to affect you, folks. That's what he's saying. And he's spending time to make sure that if you're going to rejoice about anything, hey, this is something worth rejoicing about. Because this is the stimulation that revelation brings. And this revelation comes right from God. How did he know that? Because God came to him in his room and showed him what to say and told him what to say and what not to say. That's pretty direct for me. That's pretty direct. And so Brother Branham comes and he's all excited and he tells the people, this is what God told me to tell you. And you got the book, and you got the tapes, and you got the MP3, and you got all of it. And you can bring it home, and you can read it any day of the week, and you can listen to it going home in the car. And Brother Branham says, there's a power of the revelation of the word that gives stimulation of joy to the believer. Lord, you let me live in this age when all of this is revealed here. I may not understand it all, Lord, but it means my going home. It means me getting out of here. And it means me getting out of here without death. It means that we're going to get out of here by the changing of our body. Lord, make this word so real to me and make me so happy with it that not only will others see it, but it also will affect the genes of my body, and eventually they'll be changed and I'll be taken out of here in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. Wow. So let me say this. Our feelings should follow our believing. And we should not use music or anything else to work us up and let that be the selling point of the church. Because if we are not careful, and I'm not talking about us, but I'm saying, if we're not careful, music can become a means within itself. And people use it as a selling point for the church. Hey, we got a great choir and we got a great musicians and we got a great recording system, all the rest of it. Let me tell you something. We will never, as long as I'm here, we'll never market our church based on the activities that we're involved in. We have one thing to tell the world. We have one message to give to the world. And that's the message of the hour. And if somebody doesn't want that, you know what the rest is? It's just filler. It's just fluff. It's just stuff to do. That's all it is. And we're not interested in that. We're not interested in developing that to the point where people would drive by and say, whoa, whoa, now that's a fellowship hall. Whoa. We're going there. That's not why we want people to come here. We want people to come here because when they come in through these doors, they should listen for and hear the voice of God to them in this generation. And you know what? The music, the singing, the worship, all of that is only meant to stage a moment where the Holy Spirit can come in and speak to us. But that's what's going to save somebody, and that's what's going to make somebody a member of the Bride of Christ, and that's what's going to really deal with a person's heart. The music, hey, you can go to better churches that are in Hickory. I was listening this afternoon on some of their websites. You can go to better churches, and I can point you to them, where the singing is way better, way more orchestrated. I was thinking about a church in Texas that brings in $96 million a year in revenue and has 27,000 people in it. And I was listening to the people who are behind the scenes, not the preacher, but the people who are behind the scenes. And I'm thinking, all right, what does a guy have to do to bring in $96 million in a year? $33 million of that amount goes to television production, to reach all kinds of people who are not in that 27,000 who are in the assembly, but who are out there sending money into the church. And I'm thinking, wow, what do you have to do that? And believe me, I'm not interested in fundraising $97 million or $96 million, not even $95 million. But I was thinking, how do they do it? And what they had was a little mini documentary there that talked about these fellows who run the mechanics of the service. They jump in at 9 o'clock Monday morning, 9 a.m. Monday morning, and they're in there rolling up their sleeves, determining what kind of music is going to be played next Sunday. So if that was our church, there would be musicians, technical people, stage production people, all the choreographers involved, who would come Monday morning at 9 o'clock and they'd be here planning for next Sunday's service because they're trying to project a certain feeling, a certain way, a certain atmosphere to keep people coming. And the preaching that goes on there never involves the blood or the cross. It never mentions the blood or the cross. And Brother Branham says, how can you preach a gospel without the blood and the cross? He says, you can't do it. But you know what? It is the answer for many people because lots of people come, lots of people give, and that thing just, I mean, there's lots of other churches like that grow and grow and grow. If we wanted to do it, if we wanted to grow our church, we're going about it all wrong. We're not doing it right at all because we don't emphasize programs, singing, musicians, opportunities for people to be on live television. We don't offer that. We have a word. We have a message. That's what we offer. If you love it, hey, you're welcome. And if you don't love it, you're probably going to struggle being here. Because we don't really project, we don't want to project anything else. We're here to worship God in spirit and in truth. And we're not going to put our feelings ahead of the word. We're going to let our responses to the word follow it. Therefore, I think it's even important for our musicians to respect one another. Because when you set up competition among musicians, I can play drums better than that, and I should be the piano player, and I can do this, and I should be leading the singing, and I don't know why, I don't know why John Harwell gets to play the drums over here, and I don't. And the moment you start to set up that competition, all of a sudden now, the spirit of what should be happening here draws back. And you get people up there that are related to somebody, and they're going to be the drummer, they're going to be the guitar player, they're going to be the the banjo player or whatever else, because they're related to somebody and not even converted. You will change the whole tenor, pardon the pun, of the song service. You will change everything. So I claim myself to be the chief musician in this church, because I believe I'm the custodian over the spiritual atmosphere of what happens here. And we should not have competition among our musicians. We should not have one-upmanship among our musicians. We should not have differences between them wherein, this is going to happen over my dead body. Or, I don't know why Mitchell gets to play the trumpet here, or why he gets to play the trumpet and sing. He should do one or the other. Well, hey, he might be led, and I might be led to have him not only play the trumpet, but sing. You know what I'm saying? Once that kind of stuff gets started among musicians and so forth, all of a sudden the spirit of the whole thing begins to change. And then you know what? We've missed the point. The point is, we're here to worship God. We're not here to say who's the best guitar player and who's the best piano player and who's the best drummer. We're not here to decide that. I believe it's wonderful that we have as many instruments as we have, as many opportunities as we have, for people who have the gifts and talents they have to be able to use them and express them. And to be able to rotate that around, and to be able to play, and to be able to sing, and to be able to sing specials, and to be able to contribute in that way. And I'll tell you what, I appreciate the contribution. Let's just talk about today. I appreciate the contribution from the young all the way to the old young people who are here, all the way to the musicians who are here and playing their part and contributing their part. Let me tell you, that's not a trivial thing. To me, that sets an atmosphere, that sets a tone, because you know what? The King is about to enter. That's really the point, isn't it? The King is about to come. And when we know His presence is among us, and the Word is preached, and the revelation is given, and the Holy Spirit quickens that Word to our hearts, my goodness, we should be the first ones to raise our hands and say, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for calling me. Thank you, Lord, for allowing me to be able to participate. God forbid that the worship in this church should ever become common to us. That the music and the worship and the playing of music and the singing and the leading of worship and all that should become common to us. To me, it should be a special thing. Just like we should never let the preaching of the Word become common to us. Well, I like that preacher, and I don't like that preacher, and I don't like, where Brother Barry gets on this subject. He talks about finances there, and he's got his hands down my pockets, and my goodness, he's messing around. He's meddling now, and here he goes. You ought to come and just have an open heart and open mind and say, Lord, whatever it takes. Whatever it takes for you to get me from here to there, Lord, I want to open my heart to it. And Lord, keep it scriptural and keep it in the word of the hour, Lord. And just guide that pastor or that minister who is ever here. And guide them to say the right things that will help me and my family to be able to lead in a life that's straight. And to be able to walk on a narrow path that's going to get us here. Hey, if you haven't noticed, the world is falling apart. And it's getting worse out there. And you don't get righteous instruction just everywhere. But I believe in here, we ought to enjoy it. And we ought to expect it. And we ought to be praying for it to happen every time we gather together. This is a place where we show our love to God. And we show our love to one another. This is a place where we should walk away and say, it's been good for us to be in the house of the Lord. I only got 5 minutes today that was really meant for me, but I got it, and I thank God for it. And Lord, I want to serve you, and I want to live for you. And Lord, give me whatever I have need of to make it through this week, because I don't know what's coming. And I just want to be in the right place, doing the right thing, singing the right songs, worshiping you in the right way, and being able to walk in spirit and in truth through this entire week here. Thank you, Lord, for the light that you've shown to us. Thank you, Lord, for saving me, because I couldn't save myself. I didn't even know what was right music and wrong music when I was out in the world. I didn't know what kind of place to worship. I didn't know what I was even supposed to worship. I didn't know a whole lot of things. But Lord, you've led me. You've changed my thinking, and you've changed my heart, oh God. And Lord, make it ever true. That ought to be our cry. Let's stand to our feet. We don't live in a doctrinal vacuum. We don't live in a place where we don't emphasize the truths of God's Word. The truths of God's Word are central. The truths of God's Word are important. And I believe all we do here should reflect our love for God. Can we sing that little chorus, I'm Coming Back to the Heart of Worship? And it's all about you, Lord. It's all about you. Help me sing this song. I'm not real good at singing this song here. Let's sing it together now this evening here. Aren't you glad you came to church tonight? I hope you are. I know sometimes that I never mean to do this, but sometimes I rub the kitty the wrong way, and I don't mean to do that at all. I'll tell you what, I want to make it. I want my family to make it, and I want you and your family to make it. I just want to get there. And sometimes, you know, you just say things, and you turn over the apple cart, and you make a big mess, but I just trust the Holy Spirit will bless you tonight. When the music fades, all is stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to breathe something that's of worth, that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within for the way things have been. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it, when it's all about you. Yes, it's all about you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. King of endless words, no one could express how much you deserve. Though I'm weak and poor, all I have is yours, every single breath. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. Search much deeper within to the way things have been. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. Yes, it's all about you, Jesus. Hurry, Lord, for the thing I've made it, and it's all about you. Yes, it's all about you, Jesus. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. Yes, it's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it, when
it's all about you. Yes, it's all about you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Change my heart, oh God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God. May I be like you. For you sing that again now. Sounds so nice. Change my heart, oh God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God. May I be like you. Be the Lord of all. Jesus be the Lord of all. Jesus be the Lord of all. Jesus be the Lord of all. The kingdoms of my heart, and Jesus, I surrender all. Jesus, I surrender all. Jesus, I surrender. Jesus be the Lord of all. Jesus be the Lord of all. Jesus be the Lord of all. The kingdoms of Jesus, I surrender all. Jesus. Jesus, I surrender all. Jesus, I surrender all. The kingdoms of my heart.
See, He is good. He is good. I'm thankful that we have musicians that work together, and I'm thankful I've never had to pull musicians apart, you know, from one another and wrestling. And we have a wonderful team of musicians, and I really appreciate these that are here tonight and all those that contribute. And I think that's the way it should be. We should be working together towards one aim, and that one aim is to use our gifts and talents to create that atmosphere so we can all worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. That's what it's about, folks. And I thank God for these and for you that are not only participating in the music and so forth, but you that worship. And I think that it should just really be something from our hearts and something that we really, really mean, really sincere about. He is good. He is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. He is good. God is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks for He is good. For His unfailing love and His wonderful deeds, give thanks to the Lord. He is good, God is good. Lord Jesus, we thank You for our time together today in the house of the Lord. And Father, I pray that You, the Holy Spirit, You would take the Word and just place it in our hearts, Lord. And help us, Lord, to hear only truth. And Father God, may we live it. May we learn to love it. May we submit ourselves before it. Even in an exaggerated way, to submit our lives to You. Help us, Lord, because the enemy is certainly fighting on every hand against us. But Lord, we believe greater is He that's in us than he that's in this world. So strengthen Your people. Bring healing to all those who need it tonight, Lord. We thank You for touching Sister Tracy's mother. And Lord, how You've helped her and brought her the right treatment. And we thank You, Lord, for Your mercies to her. We thank You, Lord Jesus, because we have an atmosphere, a spiritual atmosphere that we can come into and we can worship, Lord. And we can do it in a way with harmony and love between us. And Lord, that's a great thing. We thank You for that. May, Lord, You always be welcome here. May, Lord, You always be able to just come in and sit down among us. Lord, we'll be careful to give You the praise and the glory. I pray, dear God, that now You would just speak to our hearts as we go through this week. And, Lord, protect Your children, I pray, and watch over each family as represented, Lord, among us. We thank You, Lord, because You care. We thank You, Lord, because You show Your love to us in so many ways. Bless Your people now, we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask all of these things. Amen. Praise the Lord. There is none like You. No one else can touch my heart like You do. Sing it as you go tonight. If you want to stay a little, if anybody needs prayer, we're always glad to pray with you. And if you want to stay just for a little after service tonight to worship, you're always welcome to do that. There is none like You.
No one else can touch my heart like you do. I could search for all eternity, Lord, and find there is none like you. There is none like you. No one else can touch my heart like you do. I could search for all eternity, Lord, and find there is none like you. Once again now. There is none like you. I could search for all eternity, Lord, and find there is none like you. Think about his love. Think about his goodness. Think about his grace. That's brought us through. For as high so great is the measure of our Father's love. Great the measure of our Father's love. Think about his love. Think about his goodness. Think about his grace. Blood of Jesus Christ. should have fallen, my soul cast down, but mercy God is so